We've been talking about core beliefs. We have three major goals here at this church, is to help you in three relationships: God, yourself, and others. We have three basic tools to help you. In the end, it's really sort of what you do on your own. This is more geared to help you with your relationship with God. The groups is more geared to help you with others. It's an outlet. They are just sort of frameworks. They're not, you know, they're just sort of guides. And then the growth journey is to help you with yourself. And so, but we have those three relationships. And then we've been talking about six core beliefs: discipleship, worship, the future is now, true family. And we're going to talk about that. And then there was six core beliefs. But I want to talk this week and the weeks ahead about family, how we're sort of structuring teaching, just so you know, big picture, it's not cut in stone. But I'm going to teach 50 to 75% of the time, every 2 to 3 weeks, and then we'll have other people. Next week, Chad will be teaching, and I'll teach a couple weeks, and we'll cycle other people in, and that's sort of the big picture of what we're doing. But family is a big deal. It is a hard deal. It is just not easy. Americans are very individualistic mindsets. It's not just church, but everything is very individualistic. So it's not just learning how to change in church. It's learning how to change our culture. I'm a big reader, hundreds of articles a month, quite a few books a month. Every non-Christian book, I mean, there's quite a few non-Christian books talk about how Americans are the loneliest people on earth. And that's, you know, we see it in older people. We see it in younger people that are getting married later in life. And it's just, it's an American thing. But it's not a kingdom thing. There are entire cultures. I've been in the Hispanic culture a lot. I've been to South America, been to the Caribbean, which I guess does speak Spanish. I guess it's debatable if they're Hispanic culture or not, but you see a lot of it. They are very big on family. You'll see the family group. So this isn't an American thing, but it's a kingdom concept. And so last Monday was Martin Luther's day, and he started off his, you know, he said over and over again in one of the most famous speeches ever in America, "I have a dream." And so I have a dream of us having healthy families. We've been talking about that for many years. And in this year, I just felt the Lord say, us as Relationship Church to be a healthy family of healthy families. And that's a dream. I mean, we have come a long ways, but I think the Lord wants to do so much more. And I think He's setting us up to be a blessing to this community. This is a broken community, let's just be honest. More than most. I think there's a lot of brokenness in America, but you know, there's a lot of divorce, there's a lot of foster kids, there's a lot of stuff like that. It's just a broken community. And I think at the heart of every person, there's a spiritual DNA. You got a physical DNA of your height and weight and personality. But there, you do have a spirit, even though you may not be saved. And in that spirit DNA, it says in Ecclesiastes 3:11 that God has placed eternity in the hearts of men. What does that mean? He's placed a piece of Him in every person. And so if He's done that, even if it's subconscious and we don't know it, there is a desire there for relationships, first with Him and then with others. Now, most people that are in a broken community do not want to have a relationship with others. Why? And you see this all the time. I don't want to get close to anybody. You know, we've been doing groups for over 20 years. It's better now because so many more other churches do it. It's almost every church has some type of groups, even if it's on Sunday morning. It might have been the old Sunday school model. So it's better, but the biggest hindrance is I don't want to get close to anybody because of the pain I've had being close to people before. And so I don't know how you break out of this cycle. And God does want us to He's family, and He's wanting us to be that too. Because can you imagine? There's a difference between healthy and perfect. We're never going to be perfect. But can you imagine the evangelistic call to this community if your family's healthy and you invite them into your family? Or if a church is, you know, it's never going to be perfect. We've got to get past that. Is your family perfect? No, but what do? There's the difference. See, there's three levels of family. Convenience. Community, which you convenience is, I just hang around you when it's convenient. That probably describes most church activities. Then there's a level of community. I'm here because I want to hang out with you. You know, if you go to the Hankins group, they all like hanging out with each other. They spend enough time to realize that, you know, Mike's got his weaknesses, but he's got his strengths, and I just learned to live with that. Or Patty's strengths and weaknesses, and I learned to live with that. But it's good. And then there's a commitment, that third level, convenience, community, commitment. Some people call it covenant. That's a really strong word in our society. We really don't know much about covenant. There are the marriage vows. That's a covenant. But people break them and go. So I tend to like the commitment better. Convenience, community, commitment. But you can't be committed to each other till you know each other to some degree in community and move past convenience. Now, we don't want to get weird. I mean, the Woodwards, was it the 70s you were in the discipleship movement? I mean, we've all heard about this view in Christianity. They had the right vision of community, but it just got into a control spirit. We're not talking about control here. You know, you can do what you want. We may give you advice because we love you. But, you know, there's been people gone this way and you get some weirdness. We're not talking about that. But, I'd heard about it for years, then didn't hear that you were actually in it. I was like, oh, wow. But their values were good. The execution was poor. And the Lord's given us another chance because I'm telling you, this is, I believe, one of the number one ways of evangelism going forward. There are many people most people will not come to a church service. I'm not sure that's the entry point for unbelievers like it used to be. The entry point is you or groups, maybe it's a small group effort, but you just reaching out and showing love to people around you that's unconditional. And I think there's something in people's hearts that they want to be a part of something bigger than them, but there's so much hurt, you sort of got to walk through the razor blades that's on them. Y'all know what I'm talking about? There's razor blades. That's where we need the unconditional love of the fathers. Like last night I was at Brian's house, and we were doing some things there, and we played, there were some other families there, we played Family Feud. Was that spiritual? Yeah. Yeah, it's spiritual. It's fun. God is a fun God. And this year we're going to do more and more things here. There's just fun. But it draws people in. And so then somewhere along the way they go, well, where do you get your encouragement from? Well, I go on Sundays and Sean speaks prophetically into me or Mike or whoever, and then there's a message. Well, I think I may be ready for that. To get to this concept of family in a church, we have to move from what I think is level one of relationships, is convenience. I mean, we can talk about the church, but it's everywhere. It's at work, it's at whatever. We are, if we can't do it fast, we don't want to do it. Well, if you got a convenient relationship, you won't get hurt by that relationship, but you will never get the benefits of community either. I mean, a huge part of who I am, I'm blessed to be multi-generational Christian family. They weren't perfect, but much of what I am is hanging around my mom and my dad, even to this day. And there's a commitment there, even if I don't like something she does. But I know I got to see her and I can't run. Especially since she's in my house. And vice versa. Yeah, I got aggravated at you one time this week, didn't I? I was like getting aggravated at her. It's like, all right, I got to see her tomorrow. I better be nice and back off. But we need people around us like that. It really wasn't at her. She just heard me venting. And we need people like that. Now, we can't do this with 100 people. But we can be a family of families in here, and we need each other. And we have to move past the convenience relationship. Banning Leibscher. Is that how you pronounce his name? Leibscher? I don't know. He's over Jesus Culture. He's a senior pastor in the San Francisco area. He's out of Bill Johnson's ministry. How many of you ever heard of Jesus Culture? And Kim Walker Smith is his worship leader. I feel sorry for him. Ours are better. But he's got some good ones. And I was listening to him speak at Bethel this week. They're all over this family thing. And he gave this illustration, so I'm going to steal it and make it my illustration. But you can go get it on the podcast. And he is talking about many people see church as a restaurant instead of going to a family meal. And so last December, Christmas dinner, all the Coopers get together. They don't always get together because Brian's got three boys and they're all married and kids. And my other brother, two of his kids are married. And so you know how it is with marriage family things. Sometimes you got to go to the wife's family at Christmas and then go to the husband's family at Thanksgiving and you do all this. But somehow or another, the planets aligned. And there was 31 people in my mom's sunroom. And if you've been there, it was packed. It was controlled chaos. I don't even know how many kids were there. Or nieces and nephews to me, grandkids are there. But it was fun. Now, I'm a part of this. And when I come in, I don't treat it like a restaurant, like many people do a church. I don't go sit down and place my order. And say, I want the salad, but I want you to leave the tomatoes and croutons off. What choices of salad dressings do you have? If I sit there, nobody's going to come up to my table and go, what would you like to drink? You get the point. And if I said, where's the waitress? You're not going to get a good tip. They're just going to look at me and go get your own drink. Make your own salad. Everybody pitches in to bring sides, set the thing up, tear it down, wash the dishes. That's a great illustration. In this, the reason I brought this up, this is probably the best book I've ever written. It's a short book. It's satirical. I need to redo the cover so that people realize it's a fictional novel. Okay, based on truth. I mean, have you ever read the Screwtape Letters or The Great Divorce by C.S. Lewis? Both of them are allegories. Both of them are great. You read it. You can read it at one level, and it's a parable. But if you pause, you can get some serious, profound truths out of this stuff. This is the same thing. It's not on a C.S. Lewis level. I'm not saying that at all. But there's one chapter in here. It's on how to be a religious demon. It's teaching religious demons how to... You're not going to have the demon jump on you. I've had people tell me that. But it's satirical truths of how they attack Christians and get them to change their mindset. And one chapter in here, the reason I brought it in, one chapter in here is about people going to church and a guy getting mad because they had a nice coffee bar off to the side. But his favorite barista was not there that day. And his coffee was not the right temperature. And he said, I'm never coming back here again. So is that a convenience relationship? That's probably at best. You know, my needs aren't being met. If I did that at the church, at the Cooper Christmas family, they're going to kick me out. My mom's going, oh yeah. And so you see the analogy here. I don't want to overplay this thing, but we'll come into here... Convenience is important, but it's really a bigger picture. It's about community, about enjoying one another, enjoying and being with one another. And I know this is a dream. We do it to some degree, but I know the Lord wants it to be better because people need to be a part of a family. And some of you in here, is he doing the Sparks today? Anyway, wherever he's at, maybe he had to go. He said many times, this family is closer to him than his physical family. And so that's exciting. many mindsets have to change before we can fully move into this, and we're trying to get there. It's like, for instance, at my house, the kids have chores that they usually do. One of Israel's chores back here is to take out the trash. Okay, how convenient is it to take out the trash? It's just never convenient. Nobody ever wants to take out the trash. But he's part of a community that makes trash. Many times when I take the trash to the dump because they don't come to my house, I go, man, this is a trashy family. And so he has to help take out the trash. Now, if you went up to Israel now and go, I'm making you the position of chief trash taker outer. Do you think he cares? It is not about position. It is about responsibility. Because I guarantee you, there are things that happen here that has... Well, let me say it this way. Israel does not feel fulfilled taking out the trash. Israel has no passion to take out the trash. His only passion is get Dad off of his rear end to take out the trash. Now, what's my point here? We're big on passion and position. If you've ever taken the fourth book, we talk about that. We all have this. But you know, in a family, a lot, probably most of the tasks in a family or a church have nothing to do with your calling. But we need to do it to keep community, because we all generate metaphysical or emotional trash. It's like I take out the trash every week. Lynette helps me. I do not feel out of this place. Two bags is usually what it is every week. Put it in the truck, take it to the dump. I'm the senior leader. Nowhere in the fourth book of the growth journey did I get a divine revelation. I am the trash taker. Why do I take the trash? Because it needs to be taken. And so that's just one example. As we grow into family, it's going to be things that, where's Josh? He said, well, whoever he asked, Chad or somebody, what if I call you in the middle of the night? They said yes, because that's what they're supposed to say. I think they would actually do it. But that's not convenient. Now, the only challenge, if you call me at 4, I don't mind you calling me at 4, but I turn my phone off, etc. I don't think you'd probably get through. You'd have to come knock on the door, then I would hear you. So there's things in a family that's just not our calling. There are things in a family that are not convenient. You know, we don't want 48 people coming over to our house every other night at 4 o'clock. But there is a group of people that He'll start melding your heart with, little subgroups of community that you have to push on through the weirdness to get to some commitment. I was talking to Chad a couple weeks ago, and I said, Chad, I assume you know this principle. You may not. As you hang out around me more and leaders more, you're going to realize we're just like everybody else, with the same hang-ups, or maybe our own hang-ups, but with hang-ups, with problems, and we're not perfect. I've had people, once they get around leaders, they've left. Because they thought we were the nirvana, the Maslow hierarchy of needs, and some reason all of a sudden we got to perfection, become a leader. No. God just called me to do this. He was crazy. I don't really agree with the decision, but we're doing the best we know how. And so we'll have the level of convenience. It won't be that convenient to move into community. But the things you can do that you can never do by yourself. There's this myth in the entrepreneurial world, you know, I pulled myself up by my bootstraps and built this great company. It's a lie. You might have led it, might have been big, you know. You take any company of any size, there are so many people that help make that thing happen. You know, if you think you're the only one that did it, and you're just in deception. You take any company of any size, there's no way one person did all of this. You may not know their names. And that's what the Lord is doing. That's one reason He wants us, is for community to meet a need. But also, there is a sense of, there's a destiny of things that are to happen that can only happen when you're in community with a group of people. It's like Joseph back here. Are you back here, Joseph? Yeah, I see you back there. Because Brian and Lisa knew Chad, he's now working for Chad. If Brian stayed in his own little world, I don't know where, I'm sure Joseph would be working somewhere. But this way he gets to work for a good Christian person in a better environment because of somebody that they knew. Just a very tiny example, but it's all over the place. And many times the Lord will give an idea to a group of people or community that just allows you to just change your world around you. Wow, there's so much we could talk about this. Let me talk about this, and then we'll end, because we've got plenty of other Sundays. How many of you have never noticed, have ever noticed, that didn't make sense. How many of you have ever noticed, we don't have membership here. Those who have been around a long time know this. I mean, we've never asked for membership. We don't do membership. Have you ever wondered why, or probably because you're probably going, I'm glad I don't have to go through all that. Many years ago, I don't even remember when we started this, many years ago, the Lord's starting to plant seeds of this whole family thing. And He just told me, He just said, why are you doing membership? And I'm like, don't every church do membership? That's how I'm trained to do membership. He goes, did you join your physical family? No, you're placed there. Some of us wish we weren't placed there. And some of us have run away, but that's a whole other story. And the Lord just started to challenge me on this. He says, people don't join families. And in the spiritual sense of us here, we need to pray, Lord, which spiritual family am I to be a part of? Many years ago, somebody asked me, how do you join this church? I said, it's just like your family. If I see you regularly, you come to meals, you're a part of the family. Ask me for money like we do if you're a teenager. I'm just kidding on that part. So how do I know I'm a part of the family? We see you. You get involved in my life. I get involved in your life. Is this where God placed you? Now that's a whole different concept than the convenience concept. Look on the website. Which has the best programs? Which times meet the fit me best? Who's the preacher I like the best? You know, when we had our Christmas dinner, Mom, I don't know how they figured out what the meeting time was. It was a process somewhere over here. But they did not ask me. They're like, we're going to do this at 5, whether it's convenient or not. You get the point. But that's when the family meets. We have very few programs here. I mentioned them earlier. Basically 3. The gathering, which is this. The groups. In the growth journey, all for 3 purposes, 3 relationships. We have on purpose, no matter how big, we've been much bigger than this, whatever, we've very simplistic programs. Why? For this simple reason. The cool stuff happens dynamically with you. These programs only just sort of point you in the right direction, these 3 programs. I don't want to fill this church up with you coming to stuff. I want to teach us all how to grow as healthy individuals, get healthy families, and then you dynamically figure out where to plant this out there. And if we fill it up with a lot of programs, you don't have time to dynamically plant it out there. See, there's 2 major ways to train Christians. This is the most common way. You externally motivate them. Come to this event, come to that, invite people to this, do that. And we follow along with that pretty well. But you realize that's a very immature model. And it's not thinking very highly of you. That's an Old Testament model. It's all externally motivated. A four-year-old, you externally motivate them. You will eat the peas on your plate. You can make the analogies of Christianity. You will go to bed at 7 p.m. You will not hit your brother or sister. Somewhere along the way, there needs to be a maturity that happens where the external motivations move to an internal motivation. At 22 years old, Abigail's 22, I don't tell her to go to bed at 7 anymore. I don't tell her not to pick on her brothers and sisters, well, most of the time. I don't tell her what to do with her life. I said, you've been trained, you've been in a place, you hear from God for yourself, you, between Him and you, and I'll give you my opinion, because I'm good at that, I'll give you my opinion, and I'll pray as the Father to help you figure out what your life calling is, but you need to figure out how you're going to affect the world. I'm not going to control you. I'll be a good counselor. I'll be a good father. But I'm not telling you. The church as a family, this is the dynamics, going back to the Woodward's bad experience 30 years ago, is to be a good family, be good counselors without the control. And that's a whole other topic. I'm actually writing another little book. I wrote a book on how to the control spirit. It's real good. We don't have it out there regularly. But I'm going to redo it in this format. How to be a control demon. Or something like that. And control is probably one of the major enemies of walking with God. So, I'm digressing. I want you and I want us to grow in maturity. We can help each other, we'll guide each other, but we become internally motivated. You know, pick on Josh since he spoke earlier. What's your calling? Where are you going? That's what we try to do in the fourth book. What's your destiny? I'll be with you, I'll help you. If you mess up, you're still in the family. If you mess up, we don't kick you out. Say, well, that's one way we learn not to do it. Just figure out how to do it. Just like you would with your kids. And as we become internally motivated, there's no way I can figure out all the ways that this community can be ministered to with programs here. I'm not even going to try. I'm just going to raise you up to hear God. Really, it's you. I can point you in the right. Hear God. Walk in, Micah said last week, you know, walk humbly in justice and do mercy with other people. And then He'll just show you how to minister to other people. Minister to your family, minister to yourself, and then you raise up mature people. Amen? Let's stand.